Good morning, everybody. Man, it's good to be back on Sunday, and it seems like Sunday comes every day almost. It's just wonderful that we get to be together. Are y'all glad to be here, by the way? I'm telling you, listen, I'm looking all across the room again, and once again, we are blessed with people who are here for the very first time. Can we just welcome them? You know who you are. I'm not going to point you out. You go to a church for the first time, you're like, oh, no, I hope they don't make me stand up and say, you know, not going to happen here, but we do want you to know that we are honored that you're here, and it's good to get to meet some of you before service. Please stay afterwards. Don't jump and run. Stay afterwards. There'll be a time of prayer at the end of this service. And let me just say before we get to the end that today the end prayer time is going to be a little bit different. And I just want you to please just go with what we're doing, okay? And I want you to go ahead right now and make a decision in your heart that at the end of this service, not for Keith, not for this church, not for anybody else, but you and your family, I want you to go ahead and just be prepared to pray. And you don't have to come talk to a prayer team or anything like that, but it is such a blessing to be with someone to be able to share what's on your heart and just say, hey, I need prayer over whatever it is. Because here's what I know. Some of you I know are hurting. Some of you already I know. And I was looking across this room, and I get to do this. It just messes with my mind sometimes, John, that I get to actually, I'm a pastor, man. I get to do this. It's a blessing. And at the same time, I look across this room, and I just scan the room, and I know there are people who are hurting. Some of you are struggling. And let's go ahead and welcome our online church. Come on, you guys are here too. And I know, listening behind that camera, there are people who are going through stuff. Some of you have been through stuff just this morning. Some of you fussed all the way to church, man. You got here, you got out, and you said, well, Brother Keith, what's up? You know, and all the way to church, you were like, why are we late? Why did you do this? And da-da-da-da, you know, and so on. I know those things happen because every one of you are human like me, okay? And I don't know about you, but my mess-ups come in waves. So I'll have a great, 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 sometimes a great several days, maybe a week or something. And man, and then something happens, and whoo, or maybe a few months even, and something happened. And sometimes just a few hours and something happened. The enemy's not going to stop doing what he's doing. And I know right now that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. That means Jesus is stronger than anything that you're going through. And that music this morning, when we... No longer slaves to sin. It doesn't mean we don't sin. I'm not slave to fear. I'm not a slave to these things, but it doesn't mean that I don't get afraid from time to time. And I know right now for some of us, it feels like, it sounds like a bunch of Christian babble. Because when I get into a situation where it's all messed up for me and I'm lying, my life is upside down and it's discombobulated, I don't need anybody come up to me and saying, well, can I just tell you Jesus is the answer? Sometimes I just want to say, well, wait a minute. Where was he when this happened? Where was he when that happened? Where was he when he did? And you want to just cry out to God. Well, let me just tell you about our God. There's a whole book. The biggest book in the Bible is written as a book of worship. And it phrase after phrase after, I'm sorry, I said that, and it's I spit on you, brother. I'm sorry, brother. But phrase after phrase, the psalmist lets us say, God, where are you? I don't know where you are. And he says, and it's the same. A few minutes later, he'll say, God, I know right where you are. You're right here in my heart, and I love you. And it's just this ebb and flow. And if you're waiting on life to just level out for the rest of your life, you're in a bad situation because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we're not a church that's going to promise you just wonderful things if you'll come to Jesus, except for the fact that everything that you've ever done and everything that you're doing and everything that you will do will be, it's already paid for, bought and paid for, and you have a place in the kingdom of God as his child, as his child. And y'all ought to say something right there. I don't know whether there was an amen or something in that. I'm his child. I'm a son of God. And he's given me that honor and that privilege, and I just get to do it, and it's such a great, great thing. And I want to tell you, the scripture I'm talking about today, in this series, we're calling Spirit-Led Relationships. Today, we're going to talk about wives to husbands. Next week, we're going to how do wives love your husbands. Next week, we're going to talk about husbands, how they love your wives. And then the following week, we're going to talk about how families should love each other. And I've been wrestling all week long. Started week before this message, and I knew it was coming, and I knew this text was coming. And when you preach the Bible and you see it's there in the Bible, and you go, well, I'm just going to read this. I'll just read it and sit down. And people will be all kind of tore up, confused, because we read it with a certain set of glasses on. And so here's the thing you have to do today. I'm going to ask you to do this maybe bigger than I normally always ask you to do this. You cannot interpret Scripture without interpreting in its context, okay? Now, context just means the surrounding things that are going on, both historically and both literarily, in every way in that text. The Bible cannot say today what it could not have said back then. And so you got to find out what the meaning was then and then find out what the meaning is now and interpret that to the best we can. That's called exegesis and hermeneutics. Aren't you glad that I know some big words? And what it means is basically is all of us are striving to live for God. We're wanting to do what Christ asks us to do. And every day we wake up, we think, today's a new day. I'm going to get it today. I'm going to do it right. And we go into his word, and his word tells us what to do, right, and what's not wrong, what is wrong, and what's right, and all those things. And we strive for it, and sometimes we just find ourselves struggling with it. This text this week, I have struggled with all week. And you'll know why when I get into it here in just a little bit. But it's a wrestling. It's really two parts. So if you missed, if you got today and you miss next week, then you're only going to get really half of it. I didn't do that on purpose. That's just the way the scriptures kind of broke up at this point. And so just you got to get both sides of it. Even if you're not here next week, don't not listen to next week. And I'll go ahead and suggest that you go back and listen to last week. Because without sacrifice and without the things that we talked about last week, then this week's not going to make any sense. This series connects dots after dots after dots. And I hope that today will connect one for you. If you don't hear this message in its context, it will be misunderstood. And if you throw all of your bad experiences in your marriage, from your family life, if you've got a great marriage now, but you remember back when your father or your mother was an idiot and didn't do right, and they shouldn't have done what they did, but they did, and they wounded you in some way, if you listen to this message today with that baggage in your head, then you're not going to hear what the message is saying. You're going to skew it based on that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I'll tell you this, more than any message I've spoken in a long time, if you listen to today's message with the world's view of what I'm talking about, you will misunderstand it. I just want to talk to you folks who, probably a lot of us, that don't really know our Bible that well. And we want to know it better, and we really do, but we just have a lot of Bible, we're illiterate in some things. And so if you're in that boat and you interpret what I'm going to talk to you today from the world's perspective and point of view, you will misunderstand it. And you may even leave here today thinking that I'm something that I'm not, or that the Bible is something that it's not, or even God himself is something that he is not. Okay, y'all hear me. I ain't got to the sermon yet. I'm qualifying, okay? Y'all know why I'm qualifying? Because I'm scared flat out to death to say some of this stuff. But the Word of God says it, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it in the context of what it is. And I thank y'all for applauding that. I hope at the end of the service you're going, well, I'm glad I applauded that. You know, it was good. I really do. And I'm going to tell you something. The final qualification is this. If Jesus is not the center of your life, if he's not number one above your spouse, above your children, above your dating partner, whoever that is, above your school, above your career, above your church, above your pastor, above everything. If Jesus is not preeminent in your life, you need to take care of that right now. Colossians 2:6 talks about how that you need to accept Christ. To as many as received him, we need to follow him. Receive him now. Don't wait till the end of the service. Don't wait till prayer time. Just say, right now, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, and I want to put him on top of whatever he says it goes. That's the kind of thing. He becomes Lord of my life. And I promise you, you won't ever do it perfectly. He don't even expect you to, but he wants us to live the way he wants us to live. And this is one of those ways. Okay? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to set up the context of the passage I'm going to talk about. I ain't got to the passage yet, but I will. And I want you to, you can open your Bibles to Ephesians 5. You can look in your notes. If you'll pull those notes out from the worship guide that you got when you came in today, go ahead and get those. There's some fill in the blanks. If you're at home, you guys are online. If you go to our website at discoveryal.church, you can fill in the notes there. Even if you're in house and you like electronic over paper, you can do that. You can go on, open up your the website and do your notes there and fill in the blanks. But we're in Ephesians 5. If you're just reading the scripture through today, I'm not going to read all of Ephesians 5. If I knew y'all could stand 2 or 3 hours of preaching, I'd just read the whole thing and we'd be here a while. But I know you can't handle that, so, and I can't either. I don't listen to myself for 3 hours. I don't know. Sometimes. I'm kidding. That's a joke. And the first thing we're going to learn that Paul, by the way, wrote this book. Paul was a man formerly known as Saul. And Saul was a man who killed Christians. He hated Christianity. He was a very strong Jewish man, Jewish beliefs, and he believed that Jesus was not the Messiah at first. And so the Bible says that he was by law. He had the rights by law. He was going house to house, dragging Christians out and having them stoned to death in the streets because they believed in Jesus. That's the man who wrote what you're about to read. But he had a conversion on a road. Then God just kind of smacked him down one day and blinded him. And he was like, I don't know what to do. And Lord, what am I doing? And God said, you need to get up. You need to repent. You need to be baptized. You need to go serve me. That's what's going to happen. And he did. And he hit the ground running so hard. By the way, if you have somebody in your life who is very much against Jesus and don't love the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. Paul gives me hope, man, that people who don't believe and that are so staunchly against Christianity and anything that we stand for, man, Paul gives me hope that anybody can turn for Jesus. If I can do it and Paul can do it, then you can too. And so he turns to Christ and he writes 8 books of the New Testament. That's the second half of your Bible. And in this book in Ephesians, he's talking basically about the preeminence of Christ. Y'all, he's talking about Jesus is what it's all about. If you were just to put it in one little sentence, okay? So everything falls under his preeminence. And so in chapter 5, and by the way, we're the ones that divided up chapters and verses. They didn't when they wrote it. If Paul didn't have, okay, let me do what I'm going to say in chapter 5. No, he's just writing. And he gets to this part we call chapter 5. And the point here that you want to fill in your blank is we have to live in the light. Live in the light. Live in the light. We're in a world of darkness. He says to imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Remember what I told you a while ago? He gave us the right to become children of God. You can have that today before you leave here. You can be his son or daughter. You can. You can. You can. Right here today. And so he says, you are his dear children. And he says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So there's the kicker. There's the very first part of this chapter. I want you to live as people of light, following what Jesus did. Number 2, I want you to live a transformed life. Transformed life. Y'all know the Transformers, they're cars and they become robots. You know, they're completely different when they're in their robotic state than when they are in their car state or whatever the jet or whatever they are. They're transforming. And Paul is saying to us, he says in the text here, don't participate in the things that these people do. Now, I don't have time to tell you what these people were doing, but it was things like sexual immorality. A lot of what he lists there, you just look at America, what's going on right now. Sexual immorality, lying, cheating, all these things that he lists. He lists so many things, and he says, don't participate in those things that they're doing. For once, you were full of darkness. You were in a dark place. Come on, how many would say amen, I used to be in a dark place? Yeah, we used to be there. Some of you could amen, I'm in a dark place right now. Some of you can say that, but I'm going to tell you something. He says, you were in a dark place, but now you have light from the Lord. So he says it again, live as people of the light. So when we come to Christ, we don't think anymore like the world would think. There is a transformation that takes place. And so whatever you were beforehand that wasn't of God, you now are of God, and you are transformed into this person of light. Y'all get the point? All right, one more setup of the context. I read it last week. I'll read it this week. The third thing is to be led by the Spirit. Led by Holy Spirit. And so this is a little more mysterious for most of us, and we're all trying to learn and grow in this, but he just says it real plainly. Don't be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life. And all of you that have drunk wine before and too much of it, he's not saying don't drink wine. He's saying don't be drunk with it. When you take it to the point of drunkenness and you're a foolish person and you've walked yourself into a place that you know God has not ordained. And so he says, don't be drunk with wine. And by the way, this is not a mess. This text is not even about wine. It's about what's next. He says, instead of being drunk on wine, be filled up with the right spirit. You know, you go by these stores and you buy your spirits, right? You want to be filled up with the right spirit, Holy Spirit, so that what spills out of you, when you're filled up with alcohol, filled up with it, and you're drunk on it, what spills out of you is stupidity and foolishness and debauchery and all the bad words that we can think of. Nothing good comes from it. I don't care what the commercials say. Nothing good comes from it, period. And so, but when you get Holy Spirit in you and you have Holy Spirit, I'm talking full to the rim and flowing over, all that spills out of your mouth and your life is Jesus and Jesus and how Jesus would take this particular situation and how he would act in this particular situation. And sometimes when I get in the heat of the moment, I forget that I have Holy Spirit in me and I empty myself of him and I fill himself up with me. And what comes out is foolishness and stupidity and dumb stuff. And what I have to do is empty myself again and fill myself up with him. When in Christ, we live by the same power that raised him up from the dead. Now, y'all, you can't deny that. I did for years and years denied it and didn't understand it. And I still don't understand it. But y'all, if you're trying to live your life apart from Holy Spirit in your life, it's like trying to drive your car like the Flintstones. It don't work except in cartoons. You have no engine in it. You have no gas to make it run. And you're just kind of just, okay, I just walk through life. I'll just be a good husband, or I'll just be a really good wife. You can't be that without God. Even Jesus said there's only one good, and that's the Father. Why do you call me good, Jesus said. There's only one good, and that's God. Come on, y'all. We need the goodness of God. We need this transformed life, which leads to our theme verse for this entire series, and that is, everybody say submit. We're going to say it a lot today. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so the idea of this is, I said last week that submission is the posture of relationships. If you want your relationship to survive and to thrive and to grow and to flourish and all those things, then you need to put yourself on the bottom of that relationship and lift everybody else up around you. Our Monday night group, which is the best small group ever, best small group this semester. It's the best. Anyway, we're talking about how if you want to be a leader, if you really want to be a leader, then you put yourself in a place where you help everybody else become who they need to be. That's the right kind of leader. That's what we teach here in leadership, and it's influence. And I want to tell you something. It works in your family. I want to throw a picture up. Is that picture back there, Connor? The picture on the screen. This is, if you've had any marriage counseling with me, if you've done premarital counseling with me, if you've come to me and said, hey, my marriage is struggling, I need to know what to do, you've probably seen something like this. I believe it's a very strong, simple illustration of how relationships work. Notice God's at the top of the pinnacle, and notice that he and she is on the bottom two points of that triangle. And the point here is that the closer you get to God, the closer you get to one another. Some of you in this room have lived relationships where you know how this works positively and negatively. You've seen your relationship get closer because of who Jesus is, because Jesus is number one. Okay, and those of you who've said, well, I just have tried so hard. I've tried to be the Christian I need to be, and I've tried to persuade and tried to talk, but they're just not listening. So if one of you is going the opposite of the other, notice what happens to the interval. No matter if one chooses, if both of you choose to fall away from Christ, if both of you choose to do that, then the further you get away from God, the further you'll get away from each other. And I don't care what the world says, without God in the picture, who ordained marriage in the first place, who created marriage in the first place between a man and a woman whose birth sex was a boy and her birth sex was a girl, and he put them together in the garden, and he said, it is good. Amen. And when God brought the man to the woman, I told you this last week, he said, whoa, man. He said, wow, that's one for me. And it wasn't like, well, there's someone I can keep under my thumb. I can tell her what she'll get this garden done, and I won't have to worry about a thing. No. He said, she's bone from me, flesh from me. She came from my side, not my head, not my foot. She's there. And she became one for me. And that's the picture of it. And I'm going to tell you something. This illustration assumes some things. Number one, it assumes that you understand the concept that you and I are the bride of Christ. Scripture teaches, I don't have time to go on all the text. I'm going to refer to it a little bit later on again. But we are the bride of Christ. Now, for guys to think of yourself as a bride, I mean, most of us anyway, is like, well, that's really weird, isn't it? But we have to think of ourselves in relationally to God, that Jesus is our husband, and we are all part of the body of Christ. The Bible teaches that we are the body, the hands and feet of Jesus. And some of you are eyes, and some of you are ears, and some of us are feet, and some of us are toes. And we're different parts of the body that make the part of the body, make the body function and to do what it does in order to bring glory to God. That's the whole point of all of this. And at the end of the world, when God says, son, I want you to go get your bride. It's time for a wedding day. When that happens, nobody's going to doubt, what is that in the sky? What is that trumpet? What is that noise? Nobody's going to say, well, I guess I'll just go back to work. Mm-mm, won't be any more work, praise the Lord, here. And it won't be any more of that. When he comes back to get us again, it's going to be a wedding day. And the Bible talks about being adorned as a bride waiting on him to come. And you have to understand that in context of what we're talking about today. In fact, this passage is not about marriage at all. He'll say that at the end. I'll read it in a moment. It's really about the relationship the church has with Jesus. And then, first of all, you got to understand that we as the church are the body of Christ. And I hope I'm not going too fast, but I got to move because I got a lot to talk to you about. But I just understand the concept that all of us as a church are one body, and he is the groom, and we are the bride, and we need to be ready for him when he comes again. Number two, you need to assume this. These are in your notes there out beside the little triangle. Number two, you assume that both of us know Jesus is Lord. Both of us. In fact, if you're dating somebody that don't know who Jesus is Lord, you guys who are single, I can't see everybody, but you're dating somebody who don't know Jesus is Lord, I suggest a couple of things. One is you make them Jesus is Lord, or you help them find who Jesus is Lord is first. First and foremost, before anything else happens in your relationship. And number two, if they don't want to know Jesus is Lord, I suggest you say bye. Amen. As fast as you can. Can I get an amen from some of you people who have had relationships in your life, whether in dating or a previous marriage where you were unequally yoked and you saw it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. And it'll destroy your life. And it's better to say bye than to get into it and then you can't or you don't want to. You want to try. It's just hard, man. It's hard. Didn't mean to get into that, but there it is. It's free. So, and then the last thing is that you have to trust that the Holy Spirit is who's leading you. Holy Spirit is who is leading you. You may not even understand that, but here's the point. What I'm preaching today, if it counters to your norm, if it counters to the world, and it will, and when it does, and you go, just remember, when you bump up against the Bible, you the one's got to move, not the Bible. When I bump into the Word like this, and I go, I look at Emily, and I say, why in the world do we choose this series for this particular time, and why today? And I'm, But we bumped into it, and we're going to bend to what it says. I hope I haven't overstated that because I think you guys are smart and wonderful, and I think you'll hear it. I think I've set it up well enough that I'm going to, you know, God created us, and He gets to decide what works best. Do you know if you drive a Ford and you have to work on it, which you probably will, and you try to work on it like it's a Chevrolet, you're going to run into some problems, ain't you, John? John's a mechanic. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you approach a diesel engine and you act like it's a gas engine, you got problems, don't you, brother? You better read some instructions and figure out why this engine does what it does and why this car is set this way and why do I need to do that for this vehicle? If you don't, you're going to mess it up. Same thing with the Word. Same thing with the Word. We got a Ford mentality with God sometimes when He's trying to tell us we're supposed to be a Chevrolet. Praise the Lord. I don't even drive a Chevy. I don't even know why I say that. I used to. But anyway, y'all get the point, right? You get the point. We have to line up with what God says. So with Jesus at the center, having a Spirit-led relationship, we read the text for today. The text for today is Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. For wives, this means. By the way, this means points back to the passage we just said. Submit to one another in fear of God. Everybody submits to one another in the fear of God. Y'all got that, right? Okay, very good. That's the basis. And he said, with this in mind, wives, this means you submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, very important phrase, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. And we read that text. And when a woman is submitted to Jesus, there's not an issue with submitting to a man who's submitted to Jesus. Did y'all hear that? And when a man is submitted to Jesus, there's not a problem loving his wife as Christ loved the church, which is next week, if he's loving a woman who's submitted to Jesus. Because God wins in all of that. No matter what happens in your relationship. No matter what. And only, I can't, anyway. All right, so. Today's lesson title is Wives Love Your Husbands. Wives Love Your Husbands. And I hope this is a blessing to you. So wives love your husbands, first of all, by living for Jesus. If you want to love your husband best possible way you possibly can, ladies, is you just love Jesus more than you do him. You just sell your life out more to Jesus than you do him. And by the way, let me just back up for a minute and talk to everybody who's single or single again, who is in a frustrated marriage right now or not, who's married, or if you're not married right now and you're listening to this message, you're going, well, I don't know. You should be living what I had to live with, or you should have to live with what I have to live with, or you should have to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Please, just stop. I want you for just an hour. I'm not going to be here an hour, but be here for the next 20, 30 minutes and just turn off what he did. Because I know it was wrong. You had every right to do what you had to do. Okay? And let's just admit this is hard. It's not hard. It's hard work. Remember last week? It's not hard. It's hard work. And so know my heart, okay? So here's the notice submission to your husband says, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And when I read that out of my tree of knowledge eyes years ago, it was, I'm Lord and you're not. And you need to hush and do what I tell you to do. That's what the Lord means, right? I'm the Lord and you're not. That's not what this is saying. It's as you would unto the Lord. How many times have you told your children, man, if you'll just pretend Jesus is right there in front of you, you probably won't make that decision again. Same thought here. And he goes on to say, as the church submits to Christ in verse 24, those are key. You love us best by loving Jesus first. And when that happens, words like submission and humility are about what you do for Jesus, not what you do for us. Not what you do for us. Man, if you'll come to the follow-up lesson next week and hear the challenge I'm going to give us men, Lord, help us. So this all works together with like the triangle, okay? Submission is living in the image of Christ, relationship with his church. Let me say that again. Submission is living the image of Jesus' relationship with the church. It's like looking at what Jesus did for the church and living in that image in the home. And again, we'll talk more about that next week with the husbands and so on. Scripture says in Ephesians 5:32, it's after this, it's how he ends this whole section, okay? And by the way, this section is not, he doesn't just use marriage as an illustration. He says, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. And then he says, kids, submit to your parents. That was last year. If you want that message series, that was last year this time. Kids, you need to submit to your parents. And then he says, slaves, submit to your masters, which in our context would be, when you go to work, you be the best person you can be for your boss. The whole context of this is trying to set us up for this. And he says, this is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Marriage relationships ought to be just like Jesus and the church are one. That's what he says. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Do y'all see how this is working together? And so number two is the next point I want to bring out is this. Wives, love your husbands by respecting and honoring your husband. It's a respect and an honor. And if the husband, scripture says, if the husband is the head of the wife as, that circle the word as there. That's a, what is that, a simile, metaphor kind of thing? I'm not sure. I get my as's and simile. Anyway, I better move on before I get my as in trouble. Anyway, all right, so I said it, I did. I'm sorry. Y'all just, bad pastor, all right. As Christ loved the church, as he loved the church, y'all just need to stop. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Some of y'all ain't gonna never get even past that in the message now. That was not in the notes. That was bad inspiration. All right. When a man is a man of sacrifice, a man is a man of humility and service, a man is a man who protects and loves his family, then he needs to be respected and honored, y'all. Come on. We need to honor that. When this happens, there's not a woman that I've ever met or talked to in any kind of counseling situation that would not love for her husband to give up and let God lead his life. And that can, something they can respect is something that they can honor. Somebody says, well, what if he's not a believer? My husband's not a believer. What do I do then? Come on, I wish I could say you get a pass. I even reached out to some of these guys that I know, and I said, hey, does a woman have to submit to a husband who's not a believer? And I was like, and somebody sent this back to me. This is the Bible. You wives, this is 1 Peter. You wives, accept the authority of your husbands, then even if some refuse to obey the good news. He's refused to obey the good news. And God bless you women who have men who are not, I'm going to look up, who have men who are not serving Christ like they should. God bless you. God deliver you. God deliver him. Change him, because it says that your godly lives will speak to them without a word spoken. So what was it, Assisi, Francis of Assisi, who said, preach lots of sermons, use words if necessary? That's good. That's good. And he's, that you will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. That was my mama. My daddy, for years, from the time I was like a preteen, sort of all the way through my teen years, it was the Carter years. And you guys who are old enough to remember the Carter years, there was no work. Inflation was worse than, I guess, than it is now. It was awful. I remember gas lines and gas wars and all these. I remember as a kid, you know, going through these things. And my dad was a carpenter. He was a cabinet builder. And nobody was building anything because the interest rates were out the roof. And as a 12, 13-year-old kid, I didn't understand that. I don't know what any of that was about. All I knew was my dad would take his paycheck and he would go off to the state line and he would drink it up. You couldn't drink it in Lauderdale County at the time over in Florence. It was a dry county. So he'd go up to the state line. He was not a mean person. He was not I loved my father. He passed away in 2006 as a deacon in the church. He loved the Lord and all those things changed. But in that time period, I remember my mama going to her bedroom and praying, Lord, just give me one reason, one reason. And thank God she believed the Bible, and she believed it so strongly and so staunchly and probably more conservatively than I would. And she looked at the scriptures, and she said, I can't find a reason to get rid of him. And thank God she didn't. And through lots of trying times, I remember some very, very bad stuff going on. Times when me and my brother would be in our pajamas in the car going up to the state line to look for my dad. Mom would get out those old seedy clubs and bars up there. She'd park the car and she said, don't you open this door for anybody. Lock the door and go into the clubs and try to find my dad. And he was never like I said, he wasn't mean. He wasn't a womanizer. If he had slept around on her, she'd have dumped him at a New York second because she found that in the Bible. But she couldn't find him sleeping around with anybody. He just was depressed because he didn't have work to do and he couldn't provide for his family. And he chose the wrong way to deal with it in that moment. But my mama kept praying and kept praying and kept encouraging. And I'd say her encouragement wasn't always nice, all right? I remember some of her encouragements. And they were tough. She may even be listening this morning. But I honor my mom because she stayed. And she stuck it out. And she worked hard. And some of you say, well, I can't do that. And I didn't do that. And I made the wrong choice. Then praise God for redemption. Because you don't have to live in your past. Even if you messed it up. Even if you messed it up. And even if your husband messed it up. And even if it's all broke up. And you don't know what to do. Where to go. How to make it out. Or figure it out. It ain't always going to work out like it did for my dad. Because he came back and he quit drinking without, as far as I know, he never went to a meeting. He wasn't an alcoholic. He was an abuser of alcohol. That's a difference in that. And he gave it up and walked away from it, started coming to church and doing things, and life got better and on and on and on. I wished I could say it all ended like a fairy tale ending like that. And when I lost my dad, I lost an honorable man, a man who loved the Lord. And because of my mama, stayed with him. And listen, please don't guilt yourself. When I preach that stuff, don't put yourself in guilt or shame because you messed up either today or yesterday or last week or last year or 10 years ago or whatever, or that they messed up. Y'all, we have to get to a point in our Christian life where we delete the past. When we say to the past, you no longer will control me in any situation. I will not let you control me. You're not going to. That's why you go to Freedom Group. You guys in Freedom Group, sell out to it. All in, every week, every blank filled in. Write every scripture down. Learn and listen and walk through that. And at the end of that, come to the conference and let us anoint you with oil and pray over you. And you set yourself free from all the crap that's in your past. All of it. Oh, that's the good news, y'all. I'm not mad. I'm happy. I'm crying. And I'm tore up about it because it's hard to preach this kind of stuff and to say these kind of things knowing that I've messed it up a lot. But I know my God is a God who redeems. And he'll take all the junk of your past and he'll put it all together. And Romans 8 says that he says he'll take it all and he'll make something beautiful out of it. And I know right now you're shaking your head going, ah, that ain't going to happen to me. That ain't going to happen to me. You need to stop shaking your head. Because I want to tell you what will happen. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to go like, how in the world did I get here? How in the world did I get to get blessed all over again? How in the world did all of my screw-ups just all of a sudden go away and redemption has happened and I'm free? If you'll let God do that, I promise you, He will redeem you. Man, there's so much more to say. Can I just say, as a man of God, well, my wife sitting right here, and all of us as men of God, it feels really, really awesome when you say, I'm proud of you. I honor you. I respect you. Crank's my tractor. I don't even drive a tractor. And I look at all of what God's redeemed in us. And I'm just so grateful. And he can do that for you. But you have to submit to him to do it. And then the last thing is, wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, love your husbands by understanding that submission is a respectful choice. It's a choice. I looked up the word submit in the Greek. I know that impresses you. You can do the same. It's very easy. It's called Blue Letter Bible. And you click it, and it'll tell you what word was. Hupotasso. Hupo means hypo. If you have like hypothyroidism, it's down, so it's slowing everything down. And tasso, this idea of put under. So he's saying that this is a choice. The word literally means to place one's self under. And it's not just a word that happens one time. It's a continual action word. And the Greek has these tenses like that where you do something now and you go, oh, I don't feel good. I don't like that. This is not real good at all. I don't like it at all. And you do it again, it becomes easier. It's like giving. You put the money in, you're like, it's tough. Then you start seeing the blessings from it, and it just flows. And finally, giving is just something that comes out of you like, it's just easy. The same thing happens when you submit yourself to your husband. You know, the elephant in the room is that the culture has taught women, I won't say this is wrong, to be strong, independent, career-minded, strong people. And we can go back through history and see history times where women were beat down. In fact, when all this was written in Ephesians, women were treated like property. And not all of them, but there were some like that. And our culture is saying, you know, be strong. And there's nothing wrong with you being strong. In fact, this scripture doesn't say you shouldn't be strong. Some of you are strong. I'm married to Liz. Liz is an independent career woman who, if I die today, she'll be able to be fine. I don't mean that relationally. I'm talking about she's independent. She, in our culture, you women are taught. You can go to school. You can learn. They couldn't even go to school back then. It's not that they didn't want to learn. They weren't allowed to. And so there was a lot of this there for their protection. And so when you hear that, when you bump into what God says about this, all of a sudden in our world, it's like, oh, no. Then what you're saying is women are unimportant. I have to submit to my husband. You said submit 25 times today, and I just have to submit to my husband. I just got to do this kind of thing. That's not what this scripture is saying at all. It's not saying anything about your importance or your worthiness. It's not saying that you submit to all men, by the way. It says submit to your husband, not all men. Can we get that straight? He's not saying just blindly do whatever your husband says. You should. We just plumb dumb sometimes. I need my wife to question, wait a minute, what do you think about this? Before we do that, what do you think about this situation? And there's discussion and those kinds of things. But the idea here is that I'm trying to get you to understand, we're not asking you to be weak. God's not asking you to be weak. In fact, if you look at this the way I'm about to read a quote that I found this week, that if you make this as a respectful choice and you're doing this to the best of your ability and all those things, the only way you're going to be able to do this is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I'm able to submit to Jesus, is by his power, not mine. It's that grace you're talking about a while ago. God gives it to us freely. And without it, I'm just doomed, and you are too. And so I read this quote. This is a lady named Jennifer Waddle. It's just a blog. I mean, when you're studying this stuff, y'all, there's no reason not to find good resources. It's all over the place. I mean, you find such good stuff. This lady says this about this text. In today's culture, the thought of wives submitting to their husbands is viewed as outdated, weak, and even barbaric. Sadly, this is a great misunderstanding of biblical marriage and the beautiful way in which God views submission. Think about it this way. to submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord, that's Colossians, it says it that way, is a sign of the Holy Spirit's power in you. Some of you are thinking, well, it has to be the Holy Spirit's power. I did a little survey this week, and I asked several women. I'm not going to say who I told them. I promised them I wouldn't quote them, and I'm not. But I just said, what do you think it means? Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And I got everything from, well, the word submit there is different than the word, like we say submit, right? Or one or two said, I just find that really hard to do. I don't know what to do with that. And really, the way our world is, I understand that. I get that. Because she says here, the only way to do it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to take the word submission and split it into two. It's being under the mission of your husband. He said, my husband's not under mission. Well, that's 1 Peter 2. You got to go back and be that person in front of him. And you need to encourage and to teach and to love and to bless until he finds Jesus. And when he finds Jesus, then you have someone to say, ah, now we're on mission. Let's go together. And I know that sounds like in three sentences very simple to a problem that you've been dealing with for years. Some of you have been on my prayer list. Ladies, some of you ladies have been on my prayer list for years, literally thinking, please, God, help their husbands be who they want to be, who they need to be for Jesus. Literally written out on my prayer list. And let me just say, praise God for your tenacity, for your trying, for your willingness to do what God's called you to do in that moment. Praise God for that. In fact, I would say it's one of the strongest things you'll ever do in your life is to look at this passage and go, you know what? I'm going to trust God in this. And if I'm not praying for you and you want me to, send me a text. I'll be glad to pray for you in that way. We have a prayer team here that's pretty awesome, and they'll do the same thing. In fact, I want to ask the prayer team to go and take their places now, if they would. Paul said this text. He said, you should imitate me. You should imitate me as I imitate Christ. I know there's more on the screen, Connor, but I'm probably not going to refer to it, brother. It's just too much more to say. Now, for those of you who are guests, these people standing around the perimeter of the room, this is part of our prayer team, and this is an opportunity for you to pray. And we're going to do things, as I said earlier today, we're going to think just a little bit different as we end our services today. First of all, can we all just say and believe we are the body of Christ? We're the bride of Christ. And we submit to his will over all wills. If you're not in a place where you're next to your spouse right now, like I am, I'm fixing to go fix that issue, or your spouse is not here today, I want to ask you to just, in a moment, we're going to ask you to pray together. You say, well, my spouse is not here. I'm single. I don't even have a spouse yet, or whatever. Well, I'm going to ask everybody who's single in here today to pray this prayer, that God would be preparing someone out there for you to be connected with who loves Jesus more than they'll ever love you. Some of you may like, I ain't praying for any kind of spouse. I'm having a good time right where I am. That's all right, too. You can still pray for those around you who that you know. In other words, what I'm going to ask you to do today, no matter how young or old you are, no matter what your marriage situation is, no matter where you've been, and by the way, if you're by yourself, you're not. These people around the room are waiting on you to come and pray with them. And I know that's a hard step to take sometimes for some of us. That's just stepping out, and we don't like to do that kind of thing or whatever. They're in the back. If you don't feel like coming down the front, go around the back, whatever. They just want to listen to what you want to pray about and pray for you. Very simple thing. So I want to invite you to do that. And those of us who have messed up, this is a time to repent. It's a time to say, I give up. That's surrender. I give up. And I give my life over to Jesus right now in this moment, in this time. We're going to spend a minute with just this music that's playing. I'm going to come back up and dismiss this at the end, okay? I'm going to give you just a few minutes right where we are. Listen, get with your spouse if you're not and pray. If you're comfortable, women, pray as well. Let him pray and you pray, or you pray and then him pray. Spend some time, just a couple of minutes here in prayer. And singles, please, 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 please pray at this time. Guests, this may be a little different for you. It's okay. Y'all, just join in with us. You're just a part of us today. And we want you to enjoy this time of prayer. When I come back up, I'll close us out in prayer then. Let's pray. I love it when the sound man is still praying. somewhere. I hope he is, or he's just left the building with my mic muted. If some of you are still praying, please don't stop. Just continue right on. And I know for some of you that was a hard time. I'm thankful for the freedom that can be felt in this room right now, and for the blessing of that. And I just honor you for being a church of prayer. And I just thank God every day that I get to do this. And I hope and pray that as we move forward, that God will continue to pour his spirit out in this church. Continue to bless us in that. For those of you here, our guests, we love you. We honor you. Thank you for coming and being a part of today. If you've never filled out a connection card, please do so. Please do so. It gives me an opportunity just to shoot you a text and let you know that I'm thankful for you being here, and promise not to bug you or anything, but we really want to connect with you. And that's one way to do that. If you're online, you can go to the website at discoveryal.church, and you can click the connect tab there and do the same thing. Y'all okay? All right. I didn't see anybody jump up and bolt out. And that doesn't mean there wasn't a little confusion or something. So if there's something I said you need clarity on, please talk to me afterwards. I'll be around for a little while and a little bit. And please do that. Thank you for that. Guys, next week, it's going to be good. It's easier challenging my own self. It just is. But I promise you it'll be a challenge. I hope you'll come back and be a part of that. Can I just pray over you before we leave? Is that okay with y'all? Would you stand with me, please? Come on. If you're comfortable, just hold your hands out like this and receive. Just hold them with the palms up and just receive. God, we want to receive right now whatever it is that you would give us, Lord. God, we open our hearts and our lives up to you. And right now, in this moment, even with turmoil in some of our hearts, Lord, we would move that out of the way and just let you come in and do a work, do a ministry right now. And to bless, and to heal. God, I want to pray right now over anyone in this room who has, they're either in a struggle, have come out of one, or they're going into one when it comes to their relationship, either with their spouse or family or whatever. God, I want to pray over that right now, just that the enemy would get out in Jesus' name, that forgiveness could come when forgiveness was never thought it could come, redemption could happen when we thought it was all over. When it was already all over, that redemption couldn't happen again. Father, I just pray against all of that because you're a God. You're a God who heals and can take all the mess of our life, Lord. And with our hands open right now, we receive your blessing in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on in our life. We just receive that, Lord. And God, as I say that and I receive it, Lord, sometimes I don't even understand what's coming. But we just trust you in it, and we honor you in it, and we praise you in it. And Father, unravel us. Let us see that we're no longer slaves. And Father, we give you all the gratitude and the praise and the glory. Just something came in my heart, Father. I pray for those who are not even believing right now. I believe all of this is just a game or a hoax, a grand hoax. Father, I pray that you will let them know super strong in their heart just who you are. And they can see your evidence not just within their own hearts, but all around them. And they can understand and receive the love that you give. So I pray for them, Father. I pray for our church that you will lead us, that you will guide us. Father, you help us. No, we won't take one step without you, Lord. We're just not going to do it without you. So you search us and know us. Point out anything that is in us, Lord, that is amiss, anything out of your way. And Father, lead us into your path of everlasting life. We look forward to seeing you, Lord. Be a great moment right now. If we just heard the trumpet sound, you just come home to get us. We're ready. We're so ready to see you, Lord. And we just pray that as we live this life, that you will help us, Father, to have the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet ready with the gospel of peace to share with somebody, even today as we leave this place. The belt of truth, that we stand on your word and stand on what is right, Lord, and that we hold up the shield of faith so that when the enemy shoots whatever he does at us, that we don't even hear it, we don't feel it, he can't touch us, Lord, because of you. Give us your sword of the Spirit, Lord, that we might move about with your word. And that God, help us as we pray in the Spirit, as we learn to pray in the Spirit daily and on and on and on every occasion, Lord, accept our prayers. And even when we can't say it clearly, Lord, hear what we're saying. Thank you that you can do that, that we can contact and connect even when we don't even know how to pray. We honor you in that. We just love you. Dismiss us with your love, Lord. And I just pray it all in Jesus' name. You guys go in peace. Have a wonderful Sunday and a wonderful rest of your week. God bless you.